Online, on the app, and on your smart speaker, it is Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It is the community connection with me, Patch Jobson, until the top of the hour. And it's now time for our guest on today's show. And have I got a guest for you? She has been in show business for just around 45 years. She's best known for Heidi High. She appeared in You Rang My Lord and Oh Doctor Beeching. She's performed in over 35 stage plays, 40 pantomimes. She's had a number two hit record in 1986, and she's a fashion icon, and she's coming to Taunton to the Brew House. It's wonderful to say hello. Hello, Sue Pollard. How are you?
Well, hello, Pat. What a great introduction. The only thing I don't think I've ever had or done is have a baby. So my other achievements are all, thank you for that. I've been very fortunate though, darling. You know, I've had some very, very fabulous jobs and stuff. And it's great to think that I'm still able to work as long as it's good. And the piece that we're coming with is marvellous. Well, I can't say it's enough, can I? I mean,
No, you can't. You can't. But let's move on to this, because let's be honest, you are an absolute tour de force. You are a national treasure. Everybody loves you. And you're coming to Taunton with a rather unique show, aren't you? Because this is somewhat different for you. The show is called Harpy. Tell us more about it. Tell us what drew you to taking part in this one-woman show.
I'll pray see it. I was in a panto about 8 years ago with the writer, Mr. Philip Meeks. He was the dame. I was the wicked queen. We got chatting and he said, I've had a great idea for a play. I've been mulling it over for quite a few years. And he said, would you like to see the treatment of it? For those that don't know, a treatment is, if you like, a sort of a few sentences about what the piece is about and what the character is. And I said, yes, I really like it. He said, okay, I'll develop this. So basically that was how it came about. And the title Harpy comes from a mythological bird that used to be called in, used to sort of sweep down and grab people's things and then just never give them back again. And it's actually the word means, it translates into hoarder. So she's a hoarder, my character. And it's amazing how she goes on this lovely story where nobody knows it's her. And they speak about her in the street. They speak to her and say, have you seen that filthy house full of rubbish? It's a disgrace. There's probably rats in it and all sorts of things. And it's her, actually. It's very hurtful to her. And she can't get a social worker that helps her because she's always swearing and forgets to take her tablets and calls him names. And anyway, she finally gets somebody to help her. And the great thing is, I can't go into too much because I'll spoil the story. But at the end of it, you find out why she's a hoarder. Something happened to her. She lost something when she was younger and she's terrified of losing anything again. So that's the premise of the play. But at the end of it, you can see light at the end of the tunnel for her. So, and it's appreciated, Patch, by a lot of hoarders that come to see it. You would not believe the amount of people that hoard stuff. So it's a phenomenon. There's millions around the world. It's amazing.
Now, this show's been labelled as being a dark comedy. It's very, very insightful into the world, as you said, of a hoarder. And predominantly, this is you on stage on your own, isn't it? Now, it's had incredible reviews. How much pressure does it put you under to have that stage all to your own for that duration?
I know what you're saying, Patch. I mean, I've thought about this and you go, right, I'm able to do it now because I've had more experience. I probably wouldn't have done it at 28. So therefore you have a different, you get into the zone in a different way. You can never not say the lines all the time. They're constantly there. You haven't got a moment to actually relax, but that's a good thing because you've got to get on with the story. But equally, you can't pressurize yourself because I just go, here we go. I'm going on. I'll do my best. I'll give value for money. Hope the audience enjoy it. I try not to pressurize. I want to do the show justice. And Mr. Philip Meeks, I always call him that, Mr. Philip Meeks. He took such a lot of time and effort and research into this that you feel every time you do it, you're doing it for the first time because indeed it's a new piece. So therefore, a lot of people would never have seen it. But equally, He plays the part. It's his voice of the social worker. I also have the voice of Auntie Maureen in Birdie's head. You hear her. She's inside her head, but you can actually hear it, the dialogue. And so you're not actually on your own. I am physically, but there are another four or five voices with me.
For me, what this shows me for you is that you're still not afraid of taking on a challenge. You're still not afraid of going in a totally different direction. And you have done throughout the whole of your career, whether it's comedy, whether it's panto, whether it's releasing a single that got to number two in the UK charts. You just...
Don't you, Patch?
We try. You've gone in so many different directions. Is that because for you, show business is everything? Is that because your life is on the stage?
Yes, I would say absolutely yes to that. Yes, 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 thousand yeses. I think as well, if you still feel that you're passionate about it, it's not just a job, then I think you owe it to yourself to do as much as you can. If people want to entrust you with the job and they feel that you can do it, yeah. As I say, as long as the subject matter is good, even a panto has to be good. That is one of the most difficult things to do if you want to try and get it right. You know, there's a tradition to uphold for a start. Silly gags that you have to adhere to because it's so daft. But, you know, there's an art to that. And I think if you feel that you are capable of taking something on board, Patch, that you feel you could make a good stab at, then I think you owe it to yourself. I mean, straight away you go, well, it's no good me being in Swan Lake here. I mean, I'd be useless. I mean, the four most intimidating words for me in showbiz are 5, 6, 7, 8, which means that's the choreographer going, okay, 5, 6, 7, 8, stop, dance, dance. And I'm going, they go, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I go, oh, sorry, no, I'm on the wrong foot. We'll have to start again. I can't stand it. I take my hat off to dancers. So that's what, I know I can't do that.
So that's the one that you can't do.
Yeah, no, but I can't.
But you can do everything else. In the end, you've written books, you've done the music, you've done stage, you've done TV. We can't, of course, not talk to you without bringing up Heidi High. Now, when you first went into that show, did you ever think that all those years ago, did you ever think that it would propel you to the stardom that it did? Because it's a much-loved TV institution. It's still on air today. You can still find it. You can still watch it. Did you ever go into that on that first day thinking, this is it, this is what's going to propel me into people's homes?
I would say that in the back of your mind, you like to think that this would be at least successful, right? And we had an idea that we had a chance of success because of David Croft and Jimmy Perry, who is a long history of well-written stuff, and their characters are so iconic. So we would have all hoped that we'd got that behind us. The prop guy, Evan, who'd been in so many shows, he said, this has definitely got wings, this has. I'm pretty sure this will take off. Sometimes in-house comments, like the cameraman, if you like, or the wardrobe, they might say stuff and that might not happen. But they all seemingly said, well, I think this has definitely got legs. Well, fingers crossed. So we sat on the edge of the bed in the chalet where we actually filmed in the real chalets at the time.
Yes.
Myself, Paul Shane, who played Ted Bovis, Ruth Maddock, who was Gladys. We sat there and it'd be about 6 o'clock. Freezing cold, Patch, because, you know, bearing in mind, we were filming actually at the camp.
Of course.
And finished the work and Shaney, that's what we always used to call him. I used to call him No Neck because you could never see his neck. It was all like, it was all washed up like that. He used to call me Four Eyes, of course.
Of course.
I don't care if it's on PC or not. I don't care because that was a very affectionate term. Anyway, he went, I've got some whiskey here. Do you want a tot of whiskey? Oh, I said, oh, I don't drink whiskey. Anyway, he gave us each a little tot in a little cup, And he went, "Here's to the show. We've done our best. Let's hope it goes somewhere."
He must have left early, because when I went to make his bed at 8:30, he was gone. We usually have a little chat.
Don't talk rubbish, Peggy.
You're sweet on him, aren't you? Rather fancy him myself. Mind you, it's hopeless. We live in two different worlds.
Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue. Oh, oh, Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal, and I need you, Peggy Sue.
You look as though you're going to throw up any minute.
I don't feel sick, Ted. It's romance.
Of course he can marry her. There's nothing to stop that. The thing is, though, Ted, can he make her happy?
As we said, you are bringing Harpy to the Brewhouse on the 16th November. You can get your tickets from the Brewhouse's website, which is thebrewhouse.net. Sue, if you had a single piece of advice to give to people to come and see the show and to see you in all your magnificence, what would it be?
If you're compassionate, if you can follow a great story, if you want some fun, and even if you want tears, if you can encompass all that, then this is the show for you.
There you go.
And do come, and I'll see you in the bar after.
See, now there's an invite you can't say no to. An invite from Sue Pollard. Have a drink in the bar with her afterwards.
Great.
Well, so last question of the day, Sue. Once you've done Harpy, what's next?
I'm doing the panto in Sunderland. Obviously, it's miles away from Taunton. I wouldn't expect anyone, because unless they're on the holidays. And then I'm doing a show after that. I'm going out in February with, and another thing, an evening with Sue. So it's it's like a question and answer in Act Two and Act One. It's songs, anecdotes, a few, chats, a few stories. So that'll be interesting as well. That's probably one and two nighters. So, and then I'm doing another show after that called Tickledom. And I guess it's a bit like a panto come fantasy story. Once again, I'm a sort of wicked queen, but, good triumphs over evil again. It's a family show, and it's just a very, very sweet little thing. It's only about 2 hours long, so it's all perfect. So it looks like I'm going to be fairly busy, so that's cool.
That's never a bad thing, is it? Well, Sue, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. I will hope that we can get you back on the show in later years when you're back down in this part of the world again. It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us, and we wish you all the best for Harpy at the Brewhouse.
Thank you. No, you've been terrific too. It's a two-way thing. Thank you for your time, darling. Lovely. It's been a pleasure for me.
Not a problem at all. Sue, thank you very much. It is the Community Connection with me, Patch Jobson, until the top of the hour, and I will be back just on the other side of this piece of music, which may be slightly recognisable.